God is good. I want to talk a little bit tonight about a little bit of a continuation. We talked today with a focus, our focus being on the gospel of Jesus Christ. From 1 John 5, where he said, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son." You know, and of course, our purpose as a church is to bring glory to God. And we bring glory through personal holiness and witnessing the gospel, soul winning. And a lot of folks say the only thing the church should be doing is winning souls. No, you get a hold of that. The holiness prepares you and empowers you to be a good gospel witness, a good testimony. So the church needs that good testimony. We've been doing visits on Thursday evening and just having a wonderful time with it. Went through salvation with two people the other night, just where Joyce and I were, and it's amazing. And we saw Allison and the kids walking up and down the streets, and we're there to tell them about one man, a man who was God. He was all God and he was all man, Jesus Christ. And the text we read today about Paul saying that he didn't know anything. He decided to know nothing except Christ and him crucified. And I often think, you know, it's not because we deserve salvation. It's more that he deserves to be declared. The Lord is deserving that we declare his name and what he did and his love to us. I didn't deserve salvation, but boy, I'm thankful for it. Praise God. And it tells you his character, that grace. Webster defines grace as the unmerited favor of God. I don't deserve it, but that's who God is. It's his character, his goodness and his outreach and his love for me to the extent that he died for me. Jesus Christ needs to be declared. And just what is it about a man that millions around the world come and worship and praise the name of Jesus? Even though the world now is turning against Christ and his church and trying to push it into the closet. Good luck with that one, because he's coming back, folks. But what is it that men would write thousands and thousands of songs about this one man? You won't find that in Buddhism or Hinduism or Mohammed. Thousands and ten thousands of songs about one man, Jesus Christ. That's the man we declare to you, the God-man. What is it about a man that every race, every tongue, every nation? What is it about a man who in our own nation, multitude, it don't matter the skin color, African Americans will sing about him, they'll shout about him, they'll preach about him, and they'll joy and rejoice about him. Asians in the Philippines, they'll bow and call on the name of Jesus Christ. Remember the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? That meeting was just one person saved in that meeting Philip had with that Ethiopian eunuch. One man. And if I'm not mistaken, Ethiopia was a Christian nation until the death of Haile Selassie in around 1966. All from that one meeting, that one man that got saved. Wow, that's pretty wild. So it's important. One man preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ can make a difference. countries where denomination after denomination will lift up and praise and worship. Cities and countrysides throughout a nation dotted with thousands upon thousands in this country of churches, large churches, small churches, naming the name of Jesus Christ. There's been nobody like Him. No man spake like this man. Why would millions seek light from God, seeking light from God, gravitate to a common-looking Jew? What's that about? Isn't that right? Isaiah 53 said He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. That's one of the problems with the Jews, is they were expecting a Saul. They were expecting that superhero, somebody head and shoulders above the rest, a big military leader to lead them out of the Roman bondage. But here this stepson of a carpenter, born in a barn, born in a stable. What's that all about? That's the Lord. Why would millions in this nation alone each Sunday morning adorn country churches, big city cathedrals, houses of worship, community churches, to mega churches, every name and design? But the root of that is one man. Many have become apostate. Many have left their first works and their first love. But it's all because of the name of Jesus. What is that? What's that all about? Why has the world best-selling book, the Bible, for century after century, the best-selling book, year after year, and it's been a testament of one man. Said these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. For they are they which testify of me. It's all about Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. He that believeth on the Son, 1 John 5:10, hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. This is our text this morning. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Jesus Christ, he deserves to be declared. He deserves to be proclaimed. The record of this man, it's been attacked down through the centuries. The Word of God, they've taken from it, they've added to it. They've tried to burn it, they've banned it, they've revised it, ostracized it, allegorized it, modernized it, criticized it. Oh, but it's still around, folks. It's not going anywhere. Thy Word, O Lord, settled in heaven forever. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. My, my. The record still stands, folks. It still stands. It's still going to stand. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. You don't find life in religion. You don't find life in ritual, in commandments, sacraments, or ordinances. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. That's the name that's above every name. God hath given to us eternal life, and it's in Jesus Christ. You know, S.M. Lockridge, I love this message about the King that old black preacher S.M. Lockridge preaches. He says, the heavens of heavens cannot contain Him, let alone a man explain Him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him, and Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. Of course, it loses somewhat in the translation. If you ever heard S.M. Lockridge preach this. He said, the heavens of the heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. Loses a little in the translation. You ought to hear that message sometimes. What is it about a man whom the Samaritan woman had just met? And she cried, oh, come see a man that told me all things which ever I did. Is not this the Christ? At one woman. And the Bible says many believe because of the saying of this woman. She had something to talk about, to proclaim. What is it about a man who, after meeting two men on the road to Emmaus, would declare, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened up to us the scriptures? What is it about a man who, with no record of formal education, the Jews were wondering, well, he didn't go to our seminaries. Where'd this guy come from? Yet he amazed the crowds at the synagogues. Matthew 13:54, and when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch as they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? In Luke 4:32, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. That's Jesus Christ. That's the one we proclaim, the one we put all our hopes. All our hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Just what is it about Jesus Christ? The professional Roman soldiers, those men, if you read about the Roman army, those Roman soldiers were tough guys. And they refused to arrest him, and they declared, never man spake like this man. Is it about a man that even the seas and the winds obey his voice? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, what kind of man is it that unlearned men were forever changed and marveled at following their encounter with this one man? Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Wow. That's the Savior that we serve. That's the name that we proclaim. Even the unclean spirits obeyed his voice. Luke 4:36, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. This is the record that God has given us life, and this life is in his Son. Eternal life. What manner of man is it that in his presence, death itself would have to flee? I heard a preacher preach this years ago, and he's right. You ever read a passage in Scripture where the Lord is present and anybody dies? Lazarus, come forth. When the Lord came out of the grave, said the graves were open, and many marched into town that night. That's the power of the resurrection. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Death had claimed a 12-year-old girl. You'll remember the story in Mark 5:39. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." You remember that story, boy? They laughed. They laughed him to scorn. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumai," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was at the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. My, my, my. That's the Jesus Christ that we proclaim. That we preach about, that we love, and he deserves to be proclaimed. We have a world that scorns him today. Men of God have always seemed like been scorned, but seems like it's terrible today. You remember Noah building the ark? Gonna rain. Gonna rain. Hammering those nails. Gonna rain. Who's this goofball down? Do you see this goofball building that big monstrosity down the road here? It's gonna rain. Gonna rain. And it rained. God told him that it was gonna rain. Jesus told us that he's coming back. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible must put on incorruption. And when this mortal shall have put on immortality, and when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Wow. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Wow. And whether you go, whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." He didn't give a 5-point plan there on how to get to heaven. He says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our salvation is in a man. It's not in a system. It's not in religious ritual. It's in a man, Jesus Christ. Never man spake like this man. The Southern Gospel Church, your daddy's church. "Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face." Oh, don't you want to see him? There the sinful river of his saving grace. Oh, I want to see him. I hope you want to see him. He's promised that he's going to come back. And he has never failed. What he said, he will also perform it. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted that man. It'd be a good time to do that. You know, we have an altar call every service. A lot of times I like to mention that you don't have to walk an aisle to get saved. My pastor, Charlie Davis, was saved after he read a gospel tract on a city bus. We were up there street preaching at Fountain Square a few weeks ago, just proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be doing, being a witness for him. It's in a man. That's the man that we serve, the man that we proclaim, the man that we honor and love. And it's all because of him. All because of him. I'm here tonight by the grace of Almighty God and the wonderful love of a Savior that in spite of my blight, he reached out, loved me, called me to preach. I remember the old biker David Spurgeon talked about him this morning, telling a crowd up there at Mount Hope, said, "You say, well, why would God call an old rascal like me?" And David Spurgeon looked at the crowd and said, "Because you wouldn't go, and you wouldn't go, and you wouldn't go, and you wouldn't go, and you wouldn't go." God had to go through quite a few folks before he ever called me, but he did, and I'm thankful for it. He's called you to be a witness to the gospel. We all have a place. We all have a part in this thing about spreading the good news of the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded thee. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. My. Baptizing them, he said, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Why? I'm done. Everyone stand up tonight. It's all about him. Never about me and my religious fervor, my religious zeal. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with a precious Savior who loved me enough, humbled himself and became a servant, identified himself with me, identified himself with you, tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And he reached out and he loved us. And he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The altar is open tonight. Maybe there's a burden on your heart. Maybe you've never trusted Christ. It'd be a good time to do that. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Wow, all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. The altar's open for whatever reason. Won't you come? 281. Page 281.